So this Tuesday is what? Thanksgiving? Dennis has turkey on his mind. All right. So I heard Thanksgiving. I heard Halloween, which is correct. I heard All Souls Day, which is really the next day, you know. But did anybody get the answer that we've been talking about for the past 4 weeks? Who said that? Raise your hand. Thank you. All right. So Tuesday, those are the beautiful things as well, except for Thanksgiving, is Reformation Day. So 500 years ago on Tuesday, unfortunately, we had a split in Christendom. And over these past 4 weeks and this week, we've been looking at some of the teachings that divide Catholics and Protestants and some that I think really shouldn't be dividing us. So today we're going to have our fifth and final sola, which is Soli Deo Gloria, glory to God alone. At that time, you'll turn in your term papers and we'll see what you get for your grades. So Soli Deo Gloria is the teaching that we should give glory to God alone, since salvation is accomplished only through God. The Reformers believe that, you know, human beings shouldn't take any credit for anything that happens because everything is from God. So to honor human beings for something that God did just doesn't seem to jive with their understanding of it. So this teaching was kind of going against the Catholic practice of venerating and honoring, first and foremost, our Blessed Mother, Mary, and then also the saints, those heroic men and women who lived out the Christian life. So I thought in trying to understand the issue and how we as Catholics would explain this teaching to someone who doesn't understand it as we go back to the scriptures. So when we go back to the scriptures, we'll start with Mary. And starting with Mary, we go back to Luke chapter 1. And in Luke chapter 1, Mary has an encounter with the angel Gabriel, and the angel informs Mary that she's going to conceive by the Holy Spirit and give birth to God. And the angel says, as proof of this, you're going to see that Elizabeth, your kinswoman, is pregnant. When Mary goes and visits Elizabeth, she is pregnant, and we're told that John the Baptist leaps in her womb when he comes into contact with his Savior Jesus. And when this happens, Elizabeth has a wonderful speech she gives, and then Mary responds with her Magnificat, a very beautiful prayer that she says. And in that prayer, in verse 148, Mary says, "For God has looked upon his handmaid's lowliness. Behold, from now on, all ages will call me blessed." All ages will call Mary blessed. So we see in the Bible, you can say, well, the Bible right here says that all ages are going to say Mary is blessed, are going to honor Mary. Now, why? Why is that? Well, if you think of the billions upon billions upon billions of people who've walked the face of the earth, only one can say that she conceived by the Holy Spirit and gave birth to God. It's a pretty cool distinction, if you ask me. Now, obviously, all of this was done by God's starting the process, but Mary responded. She could have said, no, I have to get my nails done. I'm sure Susie down the block would love to do this for you, God. She said, yes. She said, yes, I will do this. Now, in our secular lives, we honor presidents and military personnel and entrepreneurs and pastors and humanitarians. You let me get away with that? All right. So, for their wonderful contributions to humanity, right? So why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't any Christian want to do what the scriptures say and just reason would say and honor Mary? I have a very funny story from Catholic radio about this. I was listening to it as I was driving around one day. And this lady was recounting that she came from a very big Catholic family, and one of her brothers has become born again. And every time he comes over, he's always challenging her on the different Catholic teachings. And the topic of Mary comes up quite a bit. So one day he starts in again, you worship Mary, it's idolatry, and he's going on. She's like, whatever, you know, fixing her turkey, like, whatever, you know, all right, whatever. So finally, the mother said, her daughter, his niece, about 12, kind of says, you know, uncle, can I ask you a question? He says, sure, what do you got? He says, uncle, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? He says, of course I do. The Bible tells me that. She says, good. She says, do you believe that Mary is the mother of Jesus Christ? He says, of course I do. The Bible tells me that. 12-year-old says, Uncle, what's your problem? Right? Like, what's your problem? Like, what is the big deal, you know? So let's look at some other people from the scriptures. Let's go to the Old Testament. Let's look at Abraham. Now, when we get to the New Testament, Abraham is mentioned in 10 of the 27 books and letters of the New Testament. Now, in a number of them, it's sort of like in the genealogy, so he's one name among many. But when we get to the letters, the letter of Hebrews, Galatians, Romans, and James, we see that a lot is said of Abraham. How he said yes to God, like our Blessed Mother. How he did some heroic things, leaving his people. And how he made a covenant with God. In those letters, Abraham is held up as this wonderful model of faith. He's even called our father in faith. So we can see the scriptures have no problem saying, look, this is a wonderful example of for us to follow. When we go to the writings of St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 4, St. Paul says, I urge you, be imitators of me. In chapter 11, he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So scripturally, there's no problem that says, you know what? There are good, holy women and men throughout history whose life we can emulate. Well, this is what we do as Catholics when we honor the saints. The Bible canon closes about 110 AD. Revelation binding upon all is going to cease. But we know over the past 2,000 years, there's been lots of very holy men and women who have been wonderful examples of virtue. And in honoring them, in telling their stories, we are imitators of them, as St. Paul was of Jesus Christ. So when we look at the statues on either side, we don't worship these people. We know from historically in Benicia, the Portuguese were very instrumental in building this church. St. Elizabeth of Portugal, right there. Our Lady of Fatima, right there. We know the Dominicans were very important in building this church. Rose of Lima, right there. Martin de Porres, right there. We know that we're a bunch of hopeless cases. St. Jude, right there. We've covered all the bases, right? So, Sola Dea Gloria is very much influenced by two teachings we've talked about already, which is faith alone and grace alone. So again, underneath this teaching is this sort of uneasiness or rejection of an understanding of works and merit playing any role in our salvation. But in honoring Mary and the saints, we're not taking away anything from God. We're showing God's power. I remember when I went to my 20th high school reunion, at this time I was a Catholic priest, and at my 10th reunion I wasn't. I was like, you know, businessman Brendan, you know. But when I went for my 20th reunion, I was Father Jerome. And I walked in, a number of my you know, partners in crime from high school kind of looked at me. They're like, you? And the answer I gave him was, you know what? If God can do it with me, he can do it with anybody, right? So we see, in honoring the saints, what are we doing? We're honoring God as well, because it's only through God's grace that any human being is able to live out their Christian life. So we're not taking away from God. We're showing the incarnation of God's grace working in our lives. So at this point, I'd like to kind of recap the five solas. I'm going to break them into two categories, and then you'll turn in your term papers. So at this point, I'm going to break two of them together, which is sola scriptura and solus Christus. So scripture alone and Christ alone. Now, both of these teachings we're looking at saying we don't need an authority, right? Scripture alone and no priests. We don't need an authority in our lives. If we follow the logic, what happens is each individual Christian with his or her Bible just reads it and says, well, this is it. You know, this is ultimately what happens. Now, that's the logic if we follow it. But in practice, we know that doesn't happen. In Protestant churches, you're always going to have a pastor who's going to lead their people. He's going to get up and preach and teach. He's going to teach them about the scriptures. He's going to lead them in prayer. So these two issues didn't really get what they wanted to. Well, they got there halfway. They got rid of the Roman church. But what happens? Boop! another one's going to pop up. So all we've done is we haven't gotten rid of authority. We've just kind of switched it and brought a different authority in. So these two are really the big sticking point between Protestantism and Catholicism. And unfortunately, these two really are irreconcilable. Either you're going to say, yes, I belong to the historical church, or no, I do not. The other three, faith alone, grace alone, and glory to God alone, I think these three, we actually can do a lot of work in bringing us together. Now, if we follow the logic of those three, we in a sense want to push neighbor away. We in a sense want to get creation out of the way. Works don't matter. Merit doesn't matter. The physical world doesn't matter. Now, this is just following the logic through, right? But we know that's not true. We know that in the Protestant churches, fellowship and works of mercy are very important, right? They do lots of wonderful things in our community. And that's where I think if we really sat down and said, you know what, let's strip away a lot of the mistakes of history. Let's strip away a lot of the semantic differences that we have in our theology. If we take our egos and check them on both sides of the equation, we really can see with these three different solas that we are very, very close, if not really believe the same exact thing. So those three issues do not need to divide us in any way, shape, or form. So this Tuesday, as you're unwrapping your 19th piece of chocolate after you've had your big turkey, you know, think about, you know, the wonderful gift that God has given us. Maybe we say some prayers to say, you know, God, 500 years is enough. Give us the grace that we need to reach out. Give us the grace that we need to listen. And give us the grace that we need to reunite the body of Christ, his church.